My next guest, a doctor, has discovered amazing codes in the Bible that prove the New Testament is from God because we find it in code in the Jewish scriptures. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with Dr. Joel Young. He has found the most amazing discoveries in the Jewish scriptures that conclusively prove that the New Testament is by the same author as the Jewish scriptures. Before we get to that, I want to find out how a Jewish chiropractor had an encounter with Jesus. Joel, did some Christians get a hold of you and grab you by the tie and say, repent of your sins?
No, I never met one at that time. I grew up as a good Jewish boy, starting at 5, going to Hebrew school and then Hebrew high school, bar mitzvah. I have a twin brother for a long time and basically about the same.
Long time.
Yeah.
I got that.
Yeah. And it's been wonderful. And my personal experience was very interesting. I was in school. I was pretty much introverted, which my mother said, I'm making up for lost time now. And in school, I went into one particular day, no different than any other, I went into the bathroom just to shut the stall and have a little quiet time between class. And I had a vision of the Lord. No one had witnessed to me before. No one had spoken to me before in my personal experience. And it was an instant knowing that He is the Lord Himself.
Had you read the New Testament at all?
No, sir, not at all. I was a good Jewish boy. I didn't. It was.
So what did you do with this revelation?
Well, some say I was between a rock and a hard place. I figured I was standing on a rock at this point, though, and that was the right place to be. I went home, and I was in college at the time and graduate school, and I started to read the Brit Chadasha, the New Testament. And I found it was written by a bunch of Jewish boys, and it was Jewish straight through.
Well, how did you get into this Bible code business? I mean, it's hit the news. It's a best-selling book. And most people are hearing little bits and pieces. Is that how you got in? You read the book?
No. What happened to me, I was preparing a Bible class in Isaiah 53 that technically starts a few verses earlier in 52:13. And at the time, the Lord had spoken to me. And He said, once I had done a certain level of studies, He told me, I'm in there. And I began my studies. So I began
studying the Lord himself. Jesus is in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah.
Very much so, in plain text. Yes, sir.
So how did you find this?
Well, what I did, it's a good question. What I did is we went on a premise of not being seekers, but researchers. I don't believe in just shooting in the dark. I need a guideline. The New Testament is my guide. Mm-hmm. We understood that St. Augustine said a statement once, the new and the old is concealed, the old and the new is revealed. I would say the new and the old is clearly concealed, the old and the new is clearly revealed. So the premise and understanding that we're going to look for what God has revealed, but find it in the Tanakh, in the Hebrew scriptures, that was the understanding. Mm-hmm. We already knew that in Isaiah 53:8, 9, 10, He would be cut off, He would be buried, He would be resurrected. So with some understanding of the New Testament and the Tanakh, we went to look where we knew we would find Him.
So, you know, to be candid with you, I come from a Jewish background also.
Great.
And my dad always said, show me where it says Jesus. He didn't say His Hebrew name, Yeshua.
Amen.
Which is what He was called. Show me where it says Yeshua.
Yes.
in our scriptures. And I would read Isaiah, the 53rd chapter,
yes,
and he would even say, that sounds just like Jesus, but show me where it says Yeshua.
Exactly, and it's spelled out letter by letter that Yeshua is there, and we have a code that says...
Explain for those of us that haven't studied this, simplistically,
sure,
what is the code?
It's a great idea. One of the understandings of a code is just the same way they have won wars. Codes are encrypted. That's not a new phenomenon. They win wars. They want to send a message. So you hide in a normal text. The letters don't change. God wrote it. You can add, delete, or change. Every so many spaces is one method. You look for a code. And then when you drop off the rest of the text, those letters that remain give you a message. And wars have been won and lost on that too.
So let's say you cracked the code. Is that fair?
We were there and available, thank God, yes. We were one of them.
All right. What did you find in Isaiah 53 that what my father has died, but yes. Would have satisfied my father?
I believe it satisfies every serious seeker who's open to the truth of God. We found Yeshua. We found all of
all right,
his
Yeshua
apostles.
Is
I'm sorry.
Hebrew for Jesus.
Yeshua is Hebrew for Jesus, and we okay. will not find it in English or in his English name because he's Hebrew all the way through. Huh. We don't find Paul. We find Saul as Shaul because his name is not Paul. The Hebrew scriptures are in Hebrew, not in English. Mm. Therefore, God gave it in a divine language. There are 6,000 plus languages, but there's one divine one. It's Hebrew.
I'm just curious. How about our ancient sages, the rabbis? Did they understand this equal space lettering code?
Yes, I believe it goes back centuries, and even the fact of letters equaling numbers goes back to 2nd century Maccabean coins. So the Jews have known these things, but with the advent of computers and in the last day knowledge will be revealed, we see many things coming to the world.
Okay, let's take you back to what you found in the 53rd okay. chapter of Isaiah.
We found Yeshua. We found Messiah, which is the Messiah, the Mashiach, that he is the anointed one. We found all of his apostles except one.
Well, there were 12 followers
yes.
of Yeshua.
Yes.
And did you find their exact names?
Yes, we found their exact names. And one of the names is also by inference that it's brought out. It's a little more technical. The one name, though, that we didn't find was Judah. Judas is the Greek form, but Judah, which means praise. He was not there, and we searched over and over. Hmm. But the one who refused to give him his own name, Judah, praised the Lord because he sold it out to another to praise who we won't even mention. But we said, well, if he's not there, what does Acts 1 tell us? There's a replacement. Let's think. We found his replacement there.
So when Judas died, they replaced him with Matthias, and you're saying he is in code in Isaiah?
Yes, exactly. The one is replaced. He's lost his office. He's not there. And here he is. Now, how did Isaiah know this 700 years before? He didn't know.
700 years before Jesus came.
Yes.
That was encrypted in code.
Yes, in
well,
book
how
of Isaiah.
Do we know? And I have to be candid
Please.
With you. How do we know this wasn't just a coincidence?
Good.
That you found those names there.
It's good. Several things. Mathematically, when something goes beyond 1 to the 50th power, the physicist will tell you it's technically absurd. Our stats are better than 1 to the 50th power when we start to crunch out these numbers. Number two. The next issue is that all of the facts we find are already in the New Testament. So you'd have had to control both the Old and the New Testament to put this all together and not change the grammar, not change the text, not add, delete, or change a letter, which would throw the whole thing off.
Have they tried to crack codes in the same way, let's say, in the Quran or in the Talmud or
in the Quran,
these other holy books?
In the Quran, they have tried. And I believe have not done. They may have found one pattern, but it falls into probably what we call randomness there.
Okay, but did they find anything so direct as we find in the Torah?
No.
Nothing. Yes. How about in the Talmud? Do you know if they tried that?
Don't know. But the premise of the Talmud is that it's not from God.
I see.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is really fascinating.
Yes.
If you were not a believer in Jesus, which you are, and you examine these codes, would that convince you? You're a scientist.
Intellectually,
type.
Yes, it would, because I would say you would have had to control the text and the context before. Because to encrypt the code, I would have to design a program, I'd have to control the text, the story at every level to bring out the same message. We'd have to have all the players doing the right thing at the right time. How do you do that without a divine hand and a fingerprint, if you will, on every facet of it?
I'm looking forward for this next segment because we're going to examine in detail, and the worst skeptic cannot afford to be a skeptic anymore if you think for yourself. Be back right after this. Hello, YouTube Mishpacha. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, it's Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with Dr. Joel Young, and we are examining what is so hot today. So many people are talking about it. The Bible codes, actually encrypted in code in the Jewish scriptures, are evidences that the New Testament is by the same author as the Jewish scriptures. We're going to look at the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, penned over 700 years before Jesus even came to earth. And we're going to find that in code, in a chapter that I can tell you, I read from my own traditional Jewish father, who was born in Poland, the last thing he wanted to hear was Jesus was the Messiah. But when I finished reading that 53rd chapter of Isaiah, he said, you must be reading from a Christian Bible because it's talking just about Jesus. Dr. Young, I wish I had the information you're going to reveal today for my father, but I do want to tell you there is a good ending to the story. Before he died, in the intensive care ward of the hospital, my sister and I had the privilege of seeing my father become a Messianic Jew.
Hallelujah.
And he received his Messiah.
Thank
now
you,
tell Lord. Me about what you have for us.
This is for all the fathers and mothers and sons and daughters that are here so they can see what the Lord has always revealed. The Lord has revealed himself very clearly. And for those that have the eyes to see and a heart to feel, may their hearts be open to see this too. In Isaiah 53, we're going to see that we find the text very clearly. Our ministry is called For His Glory. And sir, we wish to see Yeshua in John 12:21 is exactly what we're all about. When we go to Isaiah 53, we're going to see as an intro, and now we're going to see the whole code, the first code. We're going to see Yeshua's name encoded in the text, straight up and down. This is Yeshua in Isaiah 53. His name appears in a vertical column.
Which, again, for those that didn't listen earlier, yes. Yeshua is Hebrew for Jesus.
Yes, so we're looking, without disturbing the arrangement of the normal letters, there is Yeshua. And if we add on the words above and below, and we just keep looking, we find Yeshua is my name. And we continue to the next, we find...
Excuse me,
yes.
It's just so good, I don't want to skip
Sorry.
Something. Yeshua is my name.
He signed
in Hebrew.
It.
It's saying, it's in Hebrew, it's saying Yeshua Shmi.
Yeshua Shmi? Yeah.
Jesus is my name.
Jesus is my name. So you read Isaiah 53.
So the 53. 53rd chapter, that's what my father asked for. Show me where it says Jesus.
Here, Dad. Here
okay.
we are. Here we are.
Go on, doctor.
Yeshua is my name, and we add on a few more letters. We just keep looking in the same sequence, equidistant letter spacing, just on Yeshua first, and we see the one rushing from above. Yeshua is my name. Way from above. He says, I'm from above. You are from below. He's rushing because he has a mission and a message for the masses to save their soul.
In Hebrew, it says, rushing from above?
Yes, sir. Shokik Me'al Yeshua Shmi, the one rushing from above. Yeshua is my name. Jesus is my name. It's phenomenal. And then it gets even more phenomenal. Crisscrossing it, we find a name, the next code, Messiah. And it crisscrosses at the Sheen. Now, we all remember this symbol. This is the Sheen. Remember Star Trek? Leonard Nimoy was Jewish, I understand.
And he was
this
doing the Sheen.
This comes from the ironic blessing. This is the mm-hmm. Sheen. They cross at the Sheen for God's name. So we see Yeshua is the Messiah on this code. And then as we go forward, we continue to find, as you go from one code to the next, we begin to find, well, who else is there? I expect to find all the apostles there. And as you go through the codes, you begin to find each one of the apostles is there. We find Yeshua, the Messiah. The next one we find is Peter. And you continue to go through all of the apostles, all the way from Andrew, all the way down. We're going to find this, we just scroll through Jacob, not James. James is an English boy's name. It's Yaakov. So we find John, Yochanan. All the way down, we're going to find that there's one man missing, Judah or Judas in the Greek, but we don't look for Greek. This is Hebrew. We find, and the missing one, Matthias. Matthias was the one who replaced Judah. How does Isaiah know? The apostles didn't even know who's going to be the replacement. They were there 700 years before Isaiah didn't even know who the apostles.
So what's your explanation?
Explanation is there can only be a divine hand orchestrating it, because the apostles, when they drew lots, they did not yet even know who the replacement was among their own living souls. Isaiah was 700 years before.
Help me, doctor. What would a skeptic say to you? What could a skeptic say to you?
Usually it's an emotional answer, not an intellectual one.
Forget the emotional for
okay.
a minute. On an intellectual plane, how could a skeptic say, yes, but?
I haven't heard a but that's substantial yet, to be honest. I haven't heard a good answer back intellectually. I'm open to it, and that's not meant to be aloof. It's just meant I'm a good student. and I'm willing to listen. I haven't heard a good response yet that meets the text in context at this level and can intellectually battle it.
Is there more now in this course?
Yes, oh, it gets even more. Now we keep looking. We find several other offices here. As we continue to the next slide, we find that several, and we're going to run right down the list here on the next slide, we find the name all apostles, shlichim, the apostles, the term apostles is there. We continue to go on and we'll run right down the list. We find Saul. We find Mary as Miriam, and we go right down the list. We're going to find lion, lamb, prophet, priest, king, his three offices there. The Passover is there encoded in the text, and the list goes on and on
Pesach,
and on.
Which is
yes, Pesach. Yeah, exactly. It's phenomenal. And every code has a meaning. I'll just illustrate one if I may. When we find all these things that just become more and more phenomenal, we find Elijah, we find Moses, we find resurrection, we find ascension, we find crucifixion.
This is just a coincidence, finding so much in just one chapter?
Yes, and it's much more yet, which we're going to do
more?
For book two. Book one is already 608 pages. We had to stop before making it 2,000. It's there. Come and see.
Now, it's one thing to prove to someone intellectually Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, but it's another thing to have your own encounter. Now, Dr. Joel Young had quite an encounter. I mean, Jesus came to him. And I found that the majority of Muslims that are coming to the Lord are having encountered, and a large number of Muslims are becoming believers in Jesus, are coming to the Lord because of personal encounters. But I have good news for every one of us, and that is, God is so good that if you take a step towards Him, He will reveal Himself. When we come back, we're going to find out that God not only had these hidden codes in the scriptures, but He's also a God of miracles. We'll be right back after this. Let's go to my producer, Janie, and find out who's up next week. Janie?
Sid, do you remember the Happy Hunters?
I've known them for years.
Well, the reason why they must be so happy is because of all the miracles that they have seen God do. And I saw some footage of, in one of their meetings, there was a baby who died. You could just hear everyone screaming because this baby died. Well, the baby was raised from the dead in the meeting.
Can we see this on the next program?
We're going to be seeing some of that footage.
I'm looking forward to that. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with Dr. Joel Young, and I mean, strap on your seatbelt. If you think it's been something till now, wait till you find out what else he has found encoded in the Jewish scriptures. We found all these things in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Let's go to another messianic scripture, because it's messianic, because it describes perfectly a crucifixion before they even punish people for crimes with crucifixion. Hundreds of years before that, it's a Psalm of David, the 22nd Psalm. Dr. Young, what did you find in code in
phenomenal,
the 22nd?
Phenomenal. Many things. There's one code I want to focus on, though, in Psalm 22. When we look at Psalm 22, we're going to find an amazing alignment here where we see Yeshua, which is in Hebrew for Jesus, mm-hmm. in a psalm that's a first-person narrative. We're going to look at Psalm 22. We see Yeshua's name encoded there. We're going to find above and below the name. There's Yeshua, Hebrew for Jesus, in Psalm 22. And we look above His name, we just keep going in the same sequence. And then below, right there, we'll take a look now. Two vavs. The vav, two above, one below. What's a vav? A vav's a letter. Mm-hmm. It's the sixth letter of the alphabet. But if you look in a Hebrew dictionary and you look up the word vav, the vav means a nail or wooden peg, but it's a nail. Now, wait a minute. In this text, written about 1,000 years before David, you look and you go, now, wait a minute. As you mentioned earlier, Sid, nobody knew about crucifixion. This was much later. The Romans perfected it, I think, about 90 B.C. Mm-hmm. You're looking at it, we find two of those letters which equal, the Vav is the sixth letter of the alphabet, and one below. Jesus was crucified with three nails in a non-Jewish way. We stone him. Rome.
So the Vav means nail. There are two nails above Yeshua and one below. Explain that.
Now, exactly, that's what we find in Psalm 22. Without disturbing the text, the letters are left alone. We are not allowed to add, delete, or change the Word of God. And just looking at the text, looking deeper.
So when someone's crucified, how many nails are used?
There are three. One for each hand, and the feet are together, and it's driven through the ankle. And between the two wrists. Now, we don't find three above or two below. We find just exactly the way Jesus was crucified. That's encoded in the text, in a Jewish scripture, in a non-Jewish method that we don't even know about. Two nails above, one below. And it, from a spiritual point of view, there's another factor. That Vav is the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Well, what's the thing about that? Six. 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 The whole 666 system is nailed to the cross of Christ.
And of course, in the book of Revelations, it says that this is a mystery of a man that will be a devil,
yes.
Literally, an antichrist.
Yes.
And you're saying that the... No, you didn't say it.
The Bible said... speaking what the Lord
that the nails were 666,
yes.
Which were nailed...
Yes, you
should. That is phenomenal. You realize that alone could heal people right now.
It should, because the 666 is not on us. It's nailed to the cross. They're freed from it. God freed them.
Tell me a miracle that you have seen based on what Jesus did.
When I was in chiropractic college once, a fellow student asked me to go sit with him in a car with a friend of his. His friend had a little girl, 9 years old at the time, who was in the hospital in a coma with half her body paralyzed. He asked, the person who asked me was a New Ager, mm-hmm. But he knows when he sees God. And I pray since he's come to the Lord, I don't know. I pray so. He asked me to pray. And what happened to me was very interesting. It was not something I tried to do. In a moment, I was in a place where everything was possible. And all I said in that place, I said, she's all right. I left, I went back to class, mm-hmm. I said goodbye. The next day I find out that time the daughter came out of the coma, brain function was normal, she went home with her dad. Hallelujah, glory to the Lord.
So what you're saying to me is you had supernatural, not natural, but supernatural faith. And when he spoke the word, she's alive. That's what happened.
There was a place where everything was possible. And in that place, what one speaks happens.
Tell me another miracle.
Yes, okay. We had a lady as a patient. I was a chiropractic physician for a living, all right? And she had a pelvic tumor, which was diagnosed on a sonogram. And she came in. She was also a smoker and a non-believer at that time, I believe. And we had prayed for her. She was going back for surgery in a month. We had prayed for her, and by the Lord's good grace, she was healed and able to be diagnosed on a sonogram pre and post. Tumor's gone. I'm very big on evidence. Gone.
You're very big on evidence,
yes,
between
sir.
The Bible codes and the miracles. You know, there are viewers right now that say, I've never even seen a miracle. Are these the only two miracles you've seen, or have you seen many more?
We've seen others. We've seen others. I had a gentleman who had ripped his bicep, all right, doing something. He ripped it and it was torn off the bone. Mm-hmm. When he tried to flex his arm, the muscle just like a ball of jelly over here. Now, technically, that is a surgical intervention. The person would get that muscle through tendons reattached to the bone. We worked with him with our hands, and God's good grace, that reattached without surgery and had full strength. The strength came back up, the muscle integrity came back up, he was functional again.
Is it medically possible for it to reattach by itself?
No, sir.
Did you hear that?
No,
it's not medically possible for that to happen. Well, our Messiah said, all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible, but first you have to repent of your sins and you have to make Jesus your Messiah and Lord. Start reading that Bible and recognize that 666, every sickness, every disease, every sin was nailed on him. And by his stripes, you know what happens with stripes? Blood comes. By those nails in his hands, those nails in his legs, he suffered because, did you ever think that no one loves you? He does. He suffered for you, and by his stripes you were healed. Not you will be, but you were. If you start just raising your hand and getting a little meshuggah, that's crazy in God, and celebrating before you see this event, that's called faith. Faith calls those things that are not as if they were. Start celebrating. Say, thank you, Jesus. I'm healed. I'm whole. Oh, God, let your power fall. Let your glory fall. Let your healing fall now in Jesus' name.